So, I don't know about you, but I really enjoy musicals. I really enjoy movies. I enjoy plays. A lot of it is because in high school, that was one of the things that helped me come out of my shell. In high school, I was someone who didn't talk a lot, stared at the floor when I walked around, no eye contact with people in the hallways, and I would just get to my class, do my class, and then ultimately at some point go home, where I would hang out with my brother, one of my best friends. And so in my junior year, it was really cool because I was asked to by some of my friends to be in a musical called Guys and Dolls. And from there, I then was in the play Macbeth, Shakespeare, and it was work. That Shakespeare, I still don't understand what even happened in the play, and I was in it. But then I was in Charlie Brown, the musical, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, my senior year as well. And what I realized, as I was reading the scripture in 1 Corinthians 12, it was really cool because when you try out for the play, you go and you do either a cold reading, which is they hand you a monologue, a piece of the script, and you read it and you act it, and then ultimately, or you can go in there with a prepared monologue, and of if you wanted to, let's say, try to get the role of Charlie Brown, you would probably try to go get a monologue from a movie or something that helped get that part. Well, it didn't always work that way. You would go in and you'd try out in front of the drama teacher. And ultimately, that drama teacher would then give you a part, either based off of what they call typecasting, which is you fit the part really well. So I got Charlie Brown because I blonde hair, blue eyed, it just fit me, and my personality fits Charlie Brown really well. So I got Charlie Brown. If I would have fit, I think if I would have fit Linus, I would have got Linus or others, you know. So, but it was up to the drama teacher. That drama teacher was the one that chose what role I got and what role others got too. Well, in this, you get the role, and then ultimately you work at it. You have a part to play in this play or musical. And what you do is very important. You drive storyline, you got to memorize your lines, you have to make sure if it is a singing part, you sing out, you know your songs. But ultimately, if it's just you, like say it's just Charlie Brown out there, and I'm just talking to myself, it doesn't work. I need my brother played Linus, and so I needed him in these scenes in order to drive story, in order to make scenes make sense. I had, you need Lucy and Snoopy and all of these other people as well. If it's just me in the play, it ain't working. The other thing that doesn't work is if I'm Charlie Brown and I look at Linus, my brother playing Linus, I was like, man, I really wish I had Linus's part. And then so I give like a half-hearted attempt at Charlie Brown because I really wanted Linus. It doesn't work. It actually makes the play really bad, because that comes out in your performance. Well, in 1 Corinthians 12, we see an element of that, what it's like concerning our gifts and what it looks like in our lives and others' lives in the church with gifts. And so I want to read this 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 12, it says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head of the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. And I will show you a still more excellent way." It's interesting when it comes to gifts, when it comes to talents, abilities, skills, hobbies, your personality in general, and my personality. What seems to happen and can happen in the church is when we see someone with a gift, someone with a gift of teaching that can get up front and teach and woo a crowd and be charismatic and have people laugh and stuff. I think sometimes people go, "I wish I could do that." I know I did, and I've shared the story before where I've had friends in high school that were really talented and could just woo a crowd, and I wanted to be able to do that. Now, God had other things in store for me, and I had to learn that along the way, just through life. But what tends to happen is we become so intent on focusing on someone else's gift that we forget God gave us our own gifts, and that they're important, that they're big gifts. Like the Bible, it talks about how, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Like these gifts are very important. They're needed in the body of Christ. They're needed in the church. We have people with gifts that, one, they think that they're better than other gifts, as in, like, I am more important to the body of Christ than, let's say, someone else. And the problem with that is when we get to that point, it says, the eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you." It can't, because we need each other. It's really interesting, even on the basketball floor, when you play ball, I can guarantee you, unless it's LeBron James on a team with, you know, if you have two equal teams, let's say that, two equal teams, and one person on the other team decides to just, like, take over and try to do it all themselves against a team of five who's playing together, the team of five is going to win. Unless, again, somehow this person is LeBron James, Michael Jordan in his prime, that sort of thing, this team of five is going to win. And the whole point of it is the idea that we're not thinking we're better than another person on the team. In fact, We have to recognize that our gift complements other gifts in the church, and their gifts complement our gifts in the church. The next thing that I do want to focus on too is, and what I focused on a while back in my last podcast was, we all have a role to play, and God chose what role we play. It says here in verse 18, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. He was like the drama teacher, as I was talking before. He knows your gifts. He knows your personality. He knows where you're going to thrive. He knows what you're going to be able to do. And so he gives you gifts in order to push the gospel. And when I say thrive, it is not about you, but it's about him. It's about being a mobile person sharing the gospel through your gifts, with your talents, with your hobbies, with your abilities. It is all about Christ. And so ultimately, he chose to give you certain gifts that he knew you would be able to use in order to share the gospel the strongest. And maybe your gift is complementing other people's gifts to share the gospel. That could be it. You may yourself not always be up front speaking to people, but you have an ability to talk to people one-on-one that maybe, let's say, I don't have. And if that's the case, you're a different member of the body with a different gift, but just as important as the gift God's given me in talking to people up front. And that's where we have to come to grips with what this is saying. We need each other. One is not necessarily more important than the other, but one is definitely just as important in sharing the gospel and being a member of the church as someone else and their gifts. So I don't know where this hits you. I know that it's one of those things where it's a reality check for us, kind of in our pride and in our state of mind concerning where we fit in with the church. I will say that certain gifts do not make you more important, but certain gifts definitely don't make you less important either. And so wherever you're at, be where you're at. Be present and use your gifts that God's given you to further the kingdom of God and to lift up the church and to encourage one another, not to put people down, not to raise your nose at another person, and definitely not to feel sorry for yourself because maybe you don't have the certain gift that someone else does. And so I hope that this encourages you to know that you are important in the body of Christ, and God chose to give you certain gifts that maybe he didn't choose to give someone else. And whether or not they're in front of people or in the back, it doesn't matter. We all have a role to play in the body of Christ and in church.